Welcome to the Life Dharma Sunday, January 25th, 2015. Month of January is just flying by. Poyo Kubota here, so very glad you joined us. Boy, one of the latest sort of projects that has been taking place here at the Bright Dawn Center is one of our lay ministers. As you know, our lay ministers reside all over the country. And one of them said, gee, I wish I was there to bang some nails and help construct the new Sierra Sanctuary that you're building. Hey, if I send you a nail, will you hammer it for me? And so I emailed back and said, yeah, that's a great idea. Send us a nail. And then I might as well extend that invitation to, you know, to other lay ministers and so forth. So I did, and to relatives. And we've been getting some nails in the mail. And I'm putting them all in a basket. And then my idea was, well, maybe first I thought, well, we could, near this front entrance, maybe, you know, the hardwood flooring goes on near the end of the construction process. And there's subflooring right now on the floor. Then I thought maybe right in front of the informal altar area. We won't have a formal altar, but we will have a specially made metal sculpture of our logo design motif, maybe a 5-foot diameter circular design that will hang on one of the walls. And right in front of that is where we might hold some ceremonies and things, but that will sort of be our central point of focus. I thought right there in front of that wall, maybe a half circle of these nails that people sent in. I will hammer in a half circle right there. And then it was suggested, again, a great idea. Well, why don't you make a video of when you do that? And then make it available on YouTube, and then people can download it and, you know, occasion. So that's what I'm planning to do. And it's very interesting to get these nails from people. The nails are often accompanied by little comments and things, and it really adds to the interdependency of the whole project. So anybody wants to send a nail in, you can send it to us. Okay, without further ado, I want to introduce, giving us a Dharma glimpse today, David Capio of Wisconsin. He was part of a lay minister group a few years ago, and I knew he and his wife, Linda. They both went through the program together. We've had about several couples that have gone through the program together, and it's really a nice thing. And Kakuyo, well, I try to make the Dharma names personalized, and of course they're composed of two written characters, and the second one is the Yo, Kakuyo, for the sun, for bright dawn. And for David, since he's a baker, somehow I thought about, and he's, I know he makes bread, he put yeast in, and some internal process is taking place, and the dough rises, swells up. So that's the meaning of the kaku, the first character in the kakuyo, that kind of a rising, swelling sun, that image. And since the Dharma name can function as a motivator or renewal process in a person's spiritual journey, I thought the image of how yeast works on bread you know, from the inside makes it happen. Just like the, so that the Dharma yeast works inside a person's karmic inner connections there. And something's always happening inside. And that's crucial for the process to turn hot, good bread. Without further ado, for our Dharma Glimpse today, David Capiol.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Today is, of course, a very cold and windy day in Wisconsin, but I'm kind of warm right here inside. My Dharma Glimpse, actually, it started, it happened in late last year. I drive very early from where I live to Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and it usually takes 29 to 35 minutes a drive. And I turn on the British Broadcasting Company, BBC, from the public radio that services Wisconsin, my portion of the state. Well, usually it's a very light program. They have interviews of very interesting people from all over the world, and they talk about a myriad of subjects. And as I was driving, that one program ended, and at 5 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock, I forget which, the Outside Source, which is another program, and it's a news broadcast from agents that the BBC have, or correspondence that the agency has all over the world. And it just so happens that they were focusing on one horrendous action that was happening live as I was listening to it, and that was the attack by the Taliban on a school, I believe it was Afghanistan. And many, many children were killed, well, actually murdered, but killed, and the teachers. And at the ending, the people who perpetrated this act were also killed. And for some reason or other, my feelings just went into overdrive. And I was, through my entire life, I was afraid of feelings and emotion because it made me do strange things, and it made me angry, and it made me fearful. That's what it was, too. But my feelings just went wild. I had feelings of, do you have fantasies? And fantasies of what could I do if I was there? I am an ex-military. I was in the Army. I enlisted. And along with all this came feelings of anger, and wrath, and sorrow. And I was driving, and I'm glad I had cruise control, because if I didn't, I would probably have been speeding down the road. So for a half hour, and I couldn't help myself, really, I was listening to what was happening. And the thoughts of what was happening inside that school, what was happening with the parents, the mothers, the fathers, and it just built. The anger that was happening was building and building. Well, I got to work. I was still very, very upset, and I started to bake bread. And it's a wonder that the Reverend talked about bread. And I was doing Italian loaves first. So I was forming them. And I did about 9. I stepped back and I looked at the bread that I had just done. And it was the most ugliest bread in the world, to my form. It was one end was smaller than the other. It was falling apart because I didn't fold it correctly. And I looked at this and I said, this was what I was feeling inside. I was feeling ugly inside. My ends were not meeting. I was uneven in my thoughts. Well, I stopped. I really stopped. I said, no, what can I do? How can I stop this emotion from just taking over my body? Well, I have an iPod, and I had just bought some music, so I decided to play it. And this is going to sound strange, but I put on the Monteverdi Vespers of 1612. And I listened to that for about 15 minutes. And then I turned on Catherine Jenkins, who she's a opera singer, and she was singing sacred hymns. And the second song that came on was Down in the River to Pray. It was an old religious song that a lot of churches sing. And I must tell you that a miracle happened. It happened inside me. The emotions that had been controlling me faded. I mean, they just faded away like mist in the sun. And a peace came over me. And it was from the inside out that this peace came. And in this peaceful moment, I went back to making the bread. And I compared the next 9 loaves, because what I have is I have tubs of bread that's been rising over the night in a cooler or a refrigerator. And I looked at the difference between what I had first done, the ugly bread that, by the way, I didn't bake. I kind of like tossed them away. and the second set of bread. And it was what I liked. It was, they were smooth. They were formed into ovals. They were resting there so peacefully, waiting to be put into the proofer and triple or double in size, and then into the oven to come out in 4 colors. That's how I check when my bread is done. If I can see 3 to 4 colors, I know that the bread is done completely. It has a hard crust and a very soft, moist inside crumb. Well, so this peace that I had did not go away. But I must tell you that the thoughts that went with these, with my anger, they were still there, but they had transformed. They had transformed in thoughts of sorrow, anger at the people, and not anger at the deaths, but sorrow for the deaths, even sorrow for the killers or the terrorists or the warriors of sun god. And it was sorrow that these things have to happen in the world. And for the first time in my life, I could think thoughts that would make me angry or fearful or thoughtful, or not thoughtful, but just that would react to my outside world. And the miracle is that I had always been afraid of the emotions and the thoughts. And the miracle is that I proved to myself that the training that I've done, the work that I've done in meditation and in reading and in trying to help others, was working for me. I could now listen to sorrowful thoughts of pain from others and not internalize it, but I could feel it. But was the peace that said, I don't know what it says at this moment. I'm still a trainee in life, even though I'm about 68 years old or 69 or whatever. Age is nothing, but I'm still a trainee in life. And I was able that day to smile, not about what happened in Afghanistan, but to smile with the interactions of the people I work with, the taste of a cookie, the taste of my bread, the smells of it, even the sound of the mixer mixing the next day's batch. It was soothing, and it was life, and I must say, I am not accepting that the deaths of these people were justified. I don't think so. And in fact, I truly think that it was unjustified. But the anger that comes with it was not there. That, to me, is a step in the right direction for me. I hope this, I hope I didn't make a mess of talking, but and that I wasn't obscure. But I wanted to, I would really hope that other people, other students, could actually feel the peace that I felt and the acceptance that thoughts do not control me. And that thoughts do not, could, will not, or cannot control others. It's the actions that I were doing that was controlling me. Well, that's it. I hope everybody is has a very peaceful Sunday and the rest of the year. I do have another miracle because that same day, I would like to share this with you. The same day, the owner of the four restaurants came in, and he told me that he had just got an offer from a bakery in Italy. That they would accept during the springtime, the boss takes people who work with him to Italy to learn working in restaurants and just exploring. And this is the first time he's actually going to take a baker, and that baker is me. So sometime in the early spring, I will be in Italy learning to bake old world breads. And I hope that that I'll be able to do it and that my bread will turn out perfect. With that, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Wow, thank you very much for sharing all that. As I listened, I had a lot of different associations and you know, I was thinking one association I had was Four Noble Truths. David Brazier Sensei, in his book, The Feeling Buddha, talks about his particular interpretation of the Four Noble Truths. And the way he talks about the second and third noble truths is, he says that in his study of the ancient writings of the Buddha, he feels that the Buddha used metaphors that could relate and communicate to the people of his time. And one that he used a lot was about fire. You know, fire was an important household tool, necessity to cook, and also it could be very destructive. And they had to be very careful that fires were kept under control. They could not be careless with it. And so this is the... the second noble truth is that we have passions, we have emotions, and the third noble truth is that by understanding ourselves and our emotions, we can direct and control and transform this powerful force. You have to bank the fire. You can't just let it burn out of control. Because it's a powerful force. So human emotions, anger, particularly anger, which is a good one to compare to fire, you know. Very powerful. And everybody gets angry. Sometimes we get angry because we feel wronged. Or, in the case of public news and the state of the world, and it's so easy to get to start to become cynical about things, that the people are just no darn good, you know? And the problem of evil and why there are continuous wars throughout history and so forth. Listen, this is the great teaching, the great gift that the Buddha gave the world. We don't need to stop our emoting our emotions. What we do need to respect their power, and that we have the power to work on these, you know? And there's no guarantee that we can control them all the time, you know. But the fact that we could experience and get into the process of this and realize that there is process by which we can bank the fire, and it's not a matter of, oh, I got angry and that's no good. Oh, I'm a failure in my spiritual journey because, you know, I think it's a wrong conception, a misinterpretation of the teachings when you say, oh, we should never have, I want zero greed and anger. We're human beings. See? We have to not eliminate the fire. The fire is actually powerful. And it could be, correct word is, transformed, channeled, directed. To provide, that's why it's called the feeling Buddha. It's not like he's so calm and nothing's going on. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, all these people who calm exterior, they were passionate, feeling, caring people. You know, we don't need to tone that down, see? But they somehow learn how to express themselves in their life work. Huh? And each of us, this is our challenge. This is what it means to be our challenge for why we were born, to become true human beings. What is it to become a true human being? Is it to try to eliminate powerful emotions? And it looks like that's what's happening in deeply religious people. That's why the title of Brazier's book is called The Feeling Buddha. In fire, or use of fire, people could relate to that, you know. And it's the same, somebody, maybe if they had a farm and they had horses, they say, you know, you don't want to break a horse's spirit completely. Okay? The spirited animal, okay? If you could form a team and go, Every one of us is a thoroughbred. Okay. Much better to be that and to, when your chips are down and you come down the home stretch, you have Buddha nature inside. You could call upon, and the thoroughbred will give you all he's got. Not like a mule or a jackass, when they get pressured, they just kick out. Kick out and complain, sort of blaming in a way. And this is a big difference, I think. It's when sometimes if you express those negative emotions outward in a critical way, negative way, blaming way, it's not productive. It's very pragmatic and practical here. Not because it's wrong or not nice or something. It's not productive. You know, you will put out bad bread. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. So until next time, keep going and produce a beautiful bread day.